Thank you, Lord, that we can come together to the Word. And thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit quickens it to us, so, Lord, that we may benefit from it. Because just studying or listening to it is not enough. We need the Holy Spirit to open it and to enable us to hear it, to receive it, and to activate it within our hearts, so that it produces the fruit that you send it for. We just praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I was praying, the Lord was reminding me, we can hear the Word, we can study the Word, but if we don't put it to work, if we don't put it in practice, then it's not going to do anything. It's going to actually often do more damage than good, because we get the mind knowledge without actually having the experience of what the Word should do. And that, instead of producing faith, produces unbelief, because we don't see the impact and the results. So, you know, more important than even the Bible study in itself, and I'm not putting Bible study down, but by itself is not enough. We need to put the Word to work and to make it operating in our life in a way that gives us the experience that talks expresses in it. See, the problem often with church is that people come to a meeting, they sit there, they listen, and they may agree or disagree. Even if they agree, but they don't do anything with it, doesn't do much. And often, I believe, produces more damage than good. Because instead of seeing the power of the Word, they start seeing their lack of power and the contradiction that that brings to the Word. So really the most important thing is to become disciples of Jesus Christ. And that means people that learn to apply the Word. And apply. You see, the Great Commission wasn't to bring people to church. Wasn't even to make people to say the sinner's prayer. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that by itself is not good enough and it's going to produce people that go to church maximum. And that's not really what God wants to do. He wants to wants people that are disciples of Him. They do the things that He did and operate the way He operated and walk in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh. Walk in the power of the Spirit. So I really think that probably the most important thing that we can do from that point of view is really to learn to become disciples of Jesus Christ rather than simply churchgoer. And that means we put to work the Word in us. But the way church in general is organized doesn't really do that. And that's where there is a problem, because we need to reestablish the way it was at the beginning. The church is very different today than it was at the beginning. Just read the book of Acts and read the results that they got compared to what happened most of the places. And evidently, that's not God's will, is it? So, the Lord is impressing on my heart that I had to move in that direction more and to make it work the way it worked then. In His way, not traditional way. The traditional man's make the word of God of no effect. That means rob the power of the Word of God. What we want to see is God's power manifested in these days, not what tradition says. Amen? So I'm going to keep you up on that. As these things develop, I start to have some ideas, some things, and I'm starting actually to do things, if you realize it or not. Anyway, one thing I wanted to share is the fact that the confession about tongues for self-edification is on the website. If you are signed up, you just go to the members area and the download area, and in the top part, you can download it. It's a PDF file. It's not that that's the only confession that you have to make. This is an example for you to do something else. But we are going to do them anyway all the time as we are going to be going through scriptures on Sunday morning too. Okay. So one thing I shared last Thursday about confessing, I think it's useful for everybody, is to realize the impact the confession has on you in all the different levels, especially in stirring up your spirit. Okay. And what I share is, you know, before you start confessing, you know, you may start speaking in tongues, but confessing is a good way. You see where you are. Go inside yourself and see where you are, emotionally, spiritually, physically, whatever things. Give a value from 1 to 10. Okay. I share this in my book too, For Healing, but this, you know, this is a general principle. And then, once you finish, do the same thing and see where you are. And you're going to see the difference. If you had done the right thing, you shouldn't be at the same place. If you go and meet with God, you shouldn't be the same as you before you were before you met God. There should be produced a change in you. And so what you do is you start becoming aware of the change it does in you, and that helps you, number one, to be motivated to do it, number two, to see that you are making a progress. Now, say, well, yes, I do, but I'm really feeling good and far when I finish, but then it swims out, just decreases. Well, that means that you have not done enough. All right? It means that possibly, you know, you're leaking and just the thing goes, the anointing goes away. What you have to do is to start to fix the leaks that you have and keep doing it more. I mean, not just maybe in just time. Sometimes, you know, time is limited, but you keep doing it regularly until the temperature of your spirit goes up and stays up. When you do it often enough, long enough, you're going to keep that level most of the time high. Instead of being down here, you're going to keep it up there. And that's a good place to be. Because that has to do with influences your attitude, influences your ability to do things, influences the level of your faith, influences so many different things. And that's what you have to develop. You want to create a permanent state of being hot for the Lord. But if you are lazy and you don't want to do the effort of stirring yourself up, then you are not going to experience that. If you are looking at the wrong thing, you are not going to achieve that. The only thing you have to do is to look at the news and you'll get down. Well, don't look at the news. I can't remember who it was, but, Wigglesworth. This is the actual story. Summerall went to meet Wigglesworth and visited him. Okay, you know both of them? You know? Okay, good. And he got and knocked at the door, and Wigglesworth opened up and was looking at him, didn't say anything. And he asked, "Can I come in?" And Wigglesworth said, "Yes, you can, but not that thing you have on your arm." He had a newspaper. A newspaper. And why? Do I need to explain it? That's right. All right? So, I mean, this is how he kept himself strong. That's how he got the results that he got. See, we had to learn from the people that got results, not from the people that talk. Okay? Lots of people say lots of things, but then when you see their life, there's not really much of an impact. Well, I don't care how much they write and how much they say. I want to see what the results they get. And I know if I had to spend the time trying to learn something from them, we had to go somewhere else. You know, Paul said that your faith may be based on the power of God, not on the wisdom of men. All right. So let's talk about confession. Confession is a really powerful tool that we have But it requires some effort. I mean, if you confess like that, you know, quietly, doesn't work. You see, there is no stirring up. You have to be willing to stir up within yourself. So, you know, you have to put energy into it. You have to put momentum into this to lift up your spirit. Even when you speak in tongues, if you speak in tongues in the maintenance mode, it's okay. It's not, it is better than nothing. If you go on the street, you don't want to scream and yell in tongues because they probably lock you up. But that when you are in your house, it's a different story. If you want to have an impact on you, you are not going to do in maintenance mode. You are going to be in aggressive mode. You push in to be able to break through. And so you have to make an effort. Sometimes, well, I'm tired. Better reason to do that. Because if, you know, you're going to stay tired unless you something changes. Well, I don't feel well. Well, do as much as you can, because that's the way you're going to get over the feeling of feeling well. So confession. We talked about some areas of confession last week. I want to say something about confession that generally is considered negative. There is no confession that come out of our mouth should be negative. But we have to understand what that means. Okay. Because any confession or meditation or prayer that we say should not be negative. Because it should be based on faith. If it's based on faith, it's not negative. And we have to understand where we are at, what we are doing in this area. So I'm going to take a scripture that generally could be used or understood or interpreted in a negative way. Because this is where you actually learn. And this is what actually Christianity for, I would say, 2,000 years has been doing it that way. Go and confess your sins. That sounds negative, isn't it? You confess your fault to one another. You know, other scriptures. Is that a negative confession that you had to make? Or is a positive one? Or how are you going to do that in a positive faith way? Because if you confess your sins and you feel sorry for yourself, you are really not even getting forgiven. The basis of your forgiveness is that you believe and have faith in what Jesus did. Not the fact that you confess, is that you express with your mouth your faith in what Jesus did so that sets you free from the mistakes and the bondages and the sins that you committed before. That's not, cannot be a negative confession. You know the way a Roman Catholic did in the past. You know, they not even did a confession in a negative way, but also after confession they gave you penance. Well, that's an abomination for God. Because what is you are saying in that case, is what Jesus did, blood of Jesus is not enough to set you free. You need to have got some punishment. But the punishment was taken on him, not on us. So that we are free today when we confess, we have to believe, and in faith we receive his forgiveness. We don't need to do anything. It's not by works that we are set free. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See how off people can be. So let's just read some of this. 1 John chapter 1. See, to understand really this scripture, what I shared with you before is essential. Because otherwise this scripture is not going to help you. You see, the power of the scriptures is released only when you believe what they actually were meant to mean, not what you interpret them. Okay? So you say, verse 1, 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message that we heard from him and declare to you. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. So the number one start with that there is no darkness in God. If you are connected with God, there is not going to be darkness in you either. And if there is any darkness in you, there is a problem. Okay? It says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. I mean, walking in darkness is different from sinning because we made a mistake. Walking in darkness means that we don't want to know the truth and that we are walking in the lie. And when we say we have no sin, when we are walking in the wrong things, then we are deceiving ourselves and we are actually lying. Because in reality, we know that that's not the truth. Are you hearing me? Okay. So it's a question of practicing the truth. I mean, we can be trapped by the enemy. Everybody can make a mistake. And God is not there trying to blast us because we made a mistake. But if we walk in the darkness, he's not making a mistake. Walking in darkness means that we choose to do the wrong thing because that's what we want and we don't want to see the light. To walk in darkness, you have to have shut down the light. But if we walk in the light, that means, you know, that we are honest about what is going on inside, what we want. There are no excuses in walking in the light. You cannot make any excuses for the things that are not true. There is no self-justification in walking in the light. In the knowledge that you have about God, you walk in and you are just not closing your eyes so that you can do whatever you want to do. Okay? I can always remember, I wasn't a believer then, but the friend when I was going to university in Italy, and he was saying, well, you know, I'm going to sin, but anyway, then I'm going to confess, it's all right. Even me, that I was an atheist then, you know, says, that doesn't make any sense. But you see, people fool themselves about these things. You should not want things that are wrong if you are born again. If you want things that are wrong, you better repent, because otherwise I question what really is going on inside you. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. See, that's the only way to have fellowship with God. In God, there is no darkness. So, if you are walking in deception, in self-deception, if you are walking and say, it's okay what I'm doing because you're convinced yourself, then you are not walking with God, period. You don't have fellowship with him. So, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. See, this is the cleansing, that the thing that takes place in us is automatically happening in us because we want to walk in the light, because we are open to the Holy Spirit, because we are open to want to do the things that God wants us to do. And because of that desire, when we make a sin, we really realize it right away in our conviction or condemnation that we feel inside, that we should feel inside. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Then we have to do something about it. And what we do something about it, we have to reject that. I says, I missed it, and I don't want that. And we take that step, and that step is a decision we make. It's a decision we make to reject certain things, to reject a certain desire, to reject certain action, certain attitude, whatever they are. And we say no to that. And we take a position for that. And that position cleanses us from all sins, because God empowers us because of our decision to be able to overcome even the temptation. You hear what I'm saying? So there is no justification. This teaching today of hyper-grace is a complete deprivation of Christianity. What you do is important. It's not that you can do anything because Jesus paid for your sins. Whatever you do, whatever decision you make, has an impact on you spiritually. The law of sowing and reaping applies 100%. All right, let me continue here. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. This is the way the cleansing takes place. When you realize that you have been trapped by the enemy, it has to be a trap, not that you went in there consciously. You know, I mean, there has to be, if your decision, then it's more work that needs to be done. You are walking in the darkness. Okay. But when you just fall, because of weakness, or because of stupidity, or because of other things that you did, well, it's the time to do something about it and to make the right decision so that you can get free from even that weakness that you have inside yourself. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You see, that comforts. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can confess our sins without repentance. And doesn't do any good. There has to be repentance over sin. That doesn't mean that you go around flagellating yourself. It simply means that you acknowledge that was wrong, I was wrong, and I don't want that. And I, you know, repentance is turning around. So you are deciding not to do that anymore, and you expect God's power to empower you to do it because that's what he says and that's what he does. So you see, even when you make a confession of sin, you have to do it in faith. You have to do it in the faith that God is enabling you to overcome it. See, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, though you don't look unto us as the mess, the people that are messed up that we are. You know, some people get mad at themselves. Oh, fell again. It's not a question of getting mad at yourself. It's a question of getting mad at the devil. Okay? Learn the lesson and allow that lesson to empower you through the power of God to know before and not to put yourself in, expose yourself to things that are going to make you fall. We had to run away from a situation of temptation. Nobody's strong enough to say, you know, that they're not going to be tempted. Jesus was tempted just as we are. He just wasn't stupid enough to go into it. And he was prepared to say the right thing. And that's the same way, see, we had to be prepared to deal with the things that come up to us. In many cases, the best way to do it for preparation is just to avoid the situation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 reinforces that. You know, by grace, that means it's a gift that is coming to us. It's not, you know, just people say, oh, grace is something we don't deserve. That's not the meaning of grace. The meaning of grace is gift. Charis means gift, and actually, what gift is that? It's gift of power. It's the ability to be able to overcome whatever situation we are in. Okay? And we have been saved, so by grace, you have been saved through faith. You see, it's believing that you can overcome, that you overcome. It's believing that what Jesus did is enough to make you overcomer. And that not of yourself is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Did you take the scriptures and not of works, so whatever we do is okay? Doesn't say that. It's that we cannot deserve. It's talking about dead works. It's the works that we're trying to get salvation from. The only thing that we had to do to get salvation from is to trust in what Jesus has done. And the sentence comes after, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So, you know, before it says not of works, but then they were created for good works. It's as a result of what happened to us, we had to perform good works, which is actually to do what God expects us to do, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. So when we say a sinner's prayer, and we say a sinner's prayer not in faith, nothing happens. It's when we say the sinner's prayer and express, and we don't even, when we express our realization of our fault and our mistakes, and we go before God in faith, believing that what he has done is enough to set us free, and that he's willing to forgive us. You know, lots of people say the sinner's prayer 10,000 times, and they still feel unworthy, and they still feel guilty, and they still feel sinners. Well, that's not what the word says. And the reason is they don't say it in faith. That means they make a confession that is not a confession of faith. All our confessions should be confessions of faith. That means should be in agreement with what God says. Are you following me? Hallelujah. See, Jesus, what he has done for us, you know, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So if it was upon him, we don't need to be chastised about them. Otherwise, what he has done wasn't quite good enough. And we need to do something else to actually be able to fulfill the whole job. Well, he did it enough. Otherwise, you just deny what he has done. See, he was made sin for us that we may become the righteousness of God. So what we had to say after we believe that is that we are the righteousness of God. And all the things that are there, they shouldn't be there. We just do, as soon as we realize them, I don't want them. I mean, these things is not part of the righteousness of God. I don't want to be that way. Our flesh can be weak. Jesus said, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's exactly what takes place. So we had to guard ourselves for that. Jesus changes us from the sons of the devil to the sons of God. And we had to start confessing that. We start believing that, start accepting that. Hallelujah. See, and we do that by confessing it. We start believing it first, and then we confess. This is what Romans 10:8 says. I mean, this is really, if you look at it, this is the most evangelistic approach that you can have to Christianity. It's understanding that you had to have faith to receive forgiveness. Because otherwise, you're going to be there always begging God for something that he has already done. And you do that by the word. You go to the word. It's the word that has set us free. It's the word that gives us understanding. It's the word that gives us the power to break free. We believe the word. We confess the word. And as we confess the word produces the results in our life. And this is in all the different areas, from sinning to healing to whatever problem we can have emotionally, physically, financially, anything. Everything Jesus has done for us, we can receive it through his word. His word, they are life and they are power. Praise the Lord. They said, this is why, you know, the thing that generally is used for salvation, in the word is near you. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8, near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You see, again, it's the word of faith. Faith is the basis of our victory. Faith means simply that we believe what the words of God says. You don't need to do anything special. You don't need to just simply choose to believe. I mean, you read it, believe it, and it's going to work. It's just as simple. Unless, you know, he knew there is so much unbelief that you don't believe the word, even if you say that you believe it. And unfortunately, our mind has a problem believing certain things because we have not had experience. But we had to open up to the Spirit of God to be able to take the steps. You know, we had to believe with your heart that God has raised him from the dead, which is really, you know, something that physically is impossible in this world. And you will be saved. For with the heart believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession unto salvation. So the idea is that we had to do that to get to the place. You see, this is when we talk about confession, and we often talk about confession for other things that we want, promises of God. This is a promise of God. It's the basic promise of God from which all the others stem. So because of that, we just had to apply the same principle for our salvation, for all the other things that we need to receive. And we had to learn to confess the word of God. And not just confess it quietly and when we are in the back room by ourselves or whatever. No, we had to confess it openly. You know, Jesus said, "Will confess me before men, I confess him before my Father." I mean, there was a reason for that. This is a component of that. You know, if you go with friends, they want to take you the wrong place. And you have confessed them already your position. You have no much problem saying, "No, sorry, I'm not going there. You can go on. Goodbye." You see, but if you didn't, then the struggle comes because you like to be accepted by your friends and they're going to pull you in the wrong place. I can never forget when I was working for the government. There was a general meeting of the organization that you know, I was working with, they were called consultants, and were like me, and we had the meeting, and then they wanted to go out someplace, and where they wanted to go, these people, to a strip place. There was no difficult for me saying, no, thank you, you can go, goodbye. But, you know, there was a friend of mine, there was a Christian, and was an elder of a Mennonite church, and he wasn't able to resist the pressure from his friends. He was a good guy. And I'm sure he was felt guilty for a long time, and I hope he did, because I know that he will, because he was a good guy. But the thing is, you had to stand before people and before men and not care if they don't like you anymore. I mean, I still remember what was going on, like I see him in front of my eyes today, because I couldn't believe it. It's not to criticize him, but, you know, it's to understand that unless we take a position, we are not going to be set free. In the areas that we take position, we are going to be set free. We are going to be empowered. I had absolutely no problem. I was going evangelizing all over the place, you know, with my Bible, no, my briefcase with the big sign, you know, Jesus is Lord, multicolored one. You know, I mean, nobody could ignore it. That was my hook for people to ask. Not everybody asked, but some people did. Anyway, praise God. So are you following what I'm trying to say to you today? It's very important. You know, Jesus changes us. It is the word that changes us when we take a position and we start confessing it. So it's so important for us to confess the word. You know, even when we make a confession of a sin, we can do it the right way instead of the wrong way. No, you know, I'm a dirty sinner and everything else. No, if you confess, you know. So I think I'm going to give you an example. We can do it together. Why don't we do it together anyway today? So to make a confession today of how we do and confess when we make a mistake, okay? What we do is, number one, we accept the fact that you made a mistake. Okay, that's not lacking of faith. That's looking at what happened. So you're going to, Heavenly Father, I failed. I got deceived by my enemy. I don't want that to happen anymore. I reject my attitude and actions. I want to be in fellowship with you. The pleasure of sin is deceitful. Sin is of the devil. It kills and destroys. I want to have abundant life. I want to be free. I repent. Meaning, I reject what I did. I hate sin. I don't want it in my life. I can receive your forgiveness because Jesus died for me. I'm grateful. I receive your forgiveness. I am forgiven. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. I receive your righteousness. I want your love, your freedom, your peace, and your joy. Who the Son made free is free indeed. I am free. I'm a child of God. I'm a part of God's family. God is my Father. I call him Daddy. I know you love me and provides for me. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. You know, after that confession of sin, you are not going to be feeling down. You're going to be feeling energized. Amen. Amen? Amen? That's the thing. You cannot feel down and being a believer. And that's the truth. We should always be confessing the word so that the word lifts us up. Even when we make a mistake. And I wanted to mention that today because lots of people, you know, sometimes make mistakes and then they flagellate themselves because of the mistake they made. When you do it in faith, and you make the right confession, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin because it motivates you to walk in the right way, to walk in the light. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's close it.